Welcome into Shock and Ship, baby. We don't have a guest today. It's just me and Shock and Mike,
baby.
So buckle up. We are talking dogs.
Hey, you might actually, depending on how we edit this, you might actually see my face this week.
There we go. I was just going to say it. I mean, we got four boxes. We got three guys. So guess what?
It's still to be determined. That'll be an editing decision to be determined.
Yeah. This is not a, it's not a TBA thing.
But my wife says, you're not going to put your face on that like that, are you?
Does your wife not like the beard?
No, my wife actually loves the beard. I actually, like, a day before yesterday, I said to her, and for the, this is, since podcasting is a visual medium, I have a pretty long salt and pepper beard. And I've had it since about the start of football season. And so I said, I think I'm going to get rid of the beard. It's starting to get hot. You know, it's a little itchy at this time of year. Mm-hmm. She gave me the frowny face. And I was like, all right, well, I'll hang on it for a little while. And lo and behold, today it's like fall again.
Yeah.
So I hung in for a right time. So, you know, she's on team beard.
You know, it's really not cool what is going on outside today. May 12th. As we record this, and it's like in the 50s, I can handle a cold April day because that still makes sense to me. Is like, all right, it's spring, I'll give that to you. But May in Georgia, it should never be this cold.
Yeah, ain't no reason for it to be 51 degrees outside right now. I wanted to take my daughter to freaking gymnastics, and I was like, I said, man, I'm going to put on a jacket. She's like, Daddy, it's May. I was like, it's 51 out there right now.
Just say, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. So you're right.
You'll figure it out.
And then tomorrow it'll be 82. So, you know, your immune system is right.
Yeah.
That's
And everybody's, and no one's nose will stop running and nobody can figure out why. And it's not the Rona.
No, not the Rona. Not the Rona. What's going on this week, guys? What do we have coming down the Georgia Dogs schedule?
So we got softball tonight. In about an hour as we tape this, but I think they've had some weather too, so they may be a little late against Kentucky Wildcats, and that I believe is in Tuscaloosa. Men and women's tennis is leaving this track left today for SEC Outdoors, which I think starts tomorrow, but it might be 2 days. I haven't looked at a calendar in a while. Men's and women's tennis are in the round of 16 down, I believe, is in five. I don't remember where it is, to be honest. I got stuff. If I don't have my whiteboard on my calendar,
I don't know how you do it.
Bro, that's crazy.
So,
all this stuff,
men's and women's tennis are going to NCAA Sweet, what they call the round of 16, which is basically their finals. Baseball's at Florida. Yeah, baseball's at Florida this weekend. I think that's it. Women are wrapping up their regional today for golf and look like they're in really good shape to qualify for the Natty, which is in Phoenix, I believe. And then I think the men start their qualifying in the next day or two. And then theirs is in Phoenix, too, right on the behind when the women go. So,
hey, do we have any golfers, women golfers on tour?
Yes, we do. You're going to hold a gun to my head right now, and I'm not going to give you the names. But yes, we do.
I'm just so used to seeing the guys. I didn't even think
about Bailey,
it.
Isn't Bailey Tardy? Is she going?
Yep, Bailey Tardy's been it.
I did a story on her.
I think we've had a couple of young ladies that have been kind of up and down on the Symetra Tour, which is like the ladies' version of the Corn Ferry Tour.
Corn Ferry. So, they call it Symmetric.
It's a lot going on, man. I don't think I skipped anybody. I try not to skip anybody. I don't think.
That's a lot of sports.
Bailey. Yeah. I did a feature on her a couple years ago, and she won on the Symmetra Tour a couple weeks ago. Went to she's from Norcross, but she
nice.
She's awesome. She loves
she's a great Instagram handle. I think it's Tardy to the Party.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty funny. But yeah, man.
Now that I've given the whole schedule, I'm gonna go through
baseball is open 100%, I see.
Crowded
attendance, which is great news.
Left lane hammer down, wide open.
100%.
We tried to go a couple weeks back when I texted you, Mike, weekend before last, and
why you didn't invite me, bro?
I just
well, you'll hear in a second.
Yeah, because then you
he's like, hey, any chance on tickets? I was like, bro,
no. I wasn't trying to do
no,
that.
No, I know you weren't trying to get them, but you were just. But we don't even have them for sale.
They were allowing like 600 people in or something. I don't even know if it was percentage based. They just cut it off at 600 or something like that, and we couldn't get in. And then we were like. We had our daughter, and we were on campus. We were, like, trying to find something to do. And I think softball was a little later. Track was going on. They had a big meet. But you couldn't get into the stands. But you can, like, watch kind of up by the Butts Mirror building.
Yeah, if you get up by the fence there, you can see in. Yeah, I think it was closed just to friends and family. And then, we had softball going on, but I think it was a night game. Which you can
softball still way off campus.
Yeah,
it's down Millage. It does feel like the other side of the world though when you're a student.
Yeah, let's put it this way: if something goes wrong, I can make it from the control room to softball in about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like,
but that's only if something goes wrong.
We had to go there. We had to practice over there or something. I was like, this is way too far to be coming way over into practice.
I think when they were doing the indoor building and the
that might have been what it was,
and everything was torn up. I think football practiced out there at the intramural fields, which are across there from there.
They had to get on a bus to practice.
Right. That's weird. Right. You know, Texas takes a bus to practice every day.
No way.
Yeah, they don't because they're – and I know this may have changed, but this is a couple of years ago. Their practice facility isn't located where their locker rooms are. So they basically load into buses every day, get dressed, load into buses, go to practice, do practice, over, get on the buses, come back.
Yeah, it's a different setup over there in Austin.
It's in the middle of a city. Yeah. It's bizarre.
You can see their stadium from, like, the interstate. Which highway is that?
That's 35. Yeah.
It's cool, though. Shock, have you been to Austin?
I have not been to Austin. I hear it's a beautiful place. I have not, but I think the only reason I would go is because I want to see I want to eat some of that good food out in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of...
So a little behind inside baseball here. A couple weeks ago, I gave Shock the... Aaron Franklin, the guy that runs Franklin Barbecue, I gave Shock the PDF of basically
his master class.
Cooking tips was it his and master everything. Class? I was wanting to say, did you get into that at all, DJ?
I'll be honest,
it's not an easy read. Because he gets pretty in depth on that.
Yeah, you got to find some. You got to stick with it there for a minute. Cause
I'll send it to you.
It's
you get lost
is it
in
his
the sauce.
Class?
Yeah. No, it's not his master class because I think the master class is video. This is a book that he did that was kind of a. Kind of a how-to, but it's not really so much a how-to as a kind of a theory behind and a best practices type thing.
Okay.
And then my wife bought one of it. He did another book, and I got it behind me someplace. That he did another one that an actual legit like recipe book that I've got. I've seen those master classes get advertised, and that's one of those deals. It's like maybe I should do it. Maybe I'll just pull the trigger and do that. That'd be
I had
kind of
a
interesting.
Previous employer. We had like a lesson that they wanted us to watch, and so they covered it for a year, and it's pretty sweet. But he has that PDF. I don't know if it's the same thing, but his master class shows you how to do a pork shoulder, brisket, and. One other thing, ribs.
Oh, I need that.
And it's all for the big smoker, though. So, like, he shows you how to start a fire and all that. I don't need all that because I don't have one of those units. But there were some things that I could transfer to what I'm working with. So, it's pretty interesting.
I think it's interesting is how simple some of the seasoning is.
For Texas, yeah.
Because a lot of these guys, and I'm talking Texas style guys. But, I mean, it's a lot of times it's just salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic.
You know what? I got a seasoning where it has salt, pepper, and garlic in one.
That's what it is. It's basically all mixed together. So
that or paprika.
So there's a company. There's a place in Texas called Salt Lick Barbecue. And truth be told, barbecue place isn't that great, but they sell their rub online. And I believe my brother-in-law sent it to me. The rub is fantastic. Mm. So I did a pork butt over the weekend, and the rub's fantastic. The rub's really good.
You got to start sending us pictures of these things, man.
You know, I usually take pictures of it. So listen to this. I usually take pictures of it, but I screwed myself up pretty good. So I believe it was Saturday night. Yeah, because Sunday was Mother's Day. Saturday night, my plan was I'll put it on about 10, let it go all night, and then pull it off, you know, a little bit after lunch on Sunday. So I put it on. I go to bed. My son had been traveling, and he had just got back from Charleston. And so I was up till he got there, and that was 2:30. So I didn't get to bed until like 3 o'clock in the morning. My alarm goes off at 6 to go check on it, make sure I've filled all the pellets up, make sure I'm okay. I get up. The temperature gauge is 50 degrees.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And I'm like, what did I do?
Oh, my gosh.
And what had happened was some of the pellets in the bottom had like turned into a powder, and it had plugged the auger, so it stopped feeding the pellets in, so the fire went out.
Now,
I got the temperature out. I got the temperature gauge out. Hit it. I was still good. The internal temperature was still good, so the butt wasn't ruined. So I threw the butt in the fridge. I said, I'm going to screw with this later. Went back to bed. Got up, or I slept a little late because I'd been up late, and got up around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and pulled all the pellets out of the grill, got down there, got all the pellet dust and detritus stuff, vacuumed that out with a shop vac, put them back in, got it up going, threw the butt back in there, pulled the butt off at like 11:30 Sunday night, and literally me, my son, and my wife were in the kitchen at 11:30 on Sunday night, like picking at it.
It ended up being
really, really good. Ended up being really, really good.
So what's the temperature and how long you cook this sucker?
So,
because obviously,
this way I did this one a little different. I've been reading some stuff, and especially, you know, you read the books, and there's like, okay, well, here's how you do it, but it doesn't specify, you know, are you in a pellet grill, or are you in a,
yeah,
you know, like an egg, or are you on like an indirect heat, whatever, like one of the big smoke box ones. So this one was specific for a pellet grill, and it said on a pellet grill you get better smoke when your temperature's lower. So I did it. The plan was originally to do it about 12 hours at about 190. Then, like, the last 2-3 hours, and this was about an 11-pound butt. And then the plan was about the last 3 hours, because it'll only take the smoke up until a certain point, and then it doesn't really take it anymore. And then the last couple hours, just jack it up to, like, 220, 225 to kind of finish it off. So that kind of went out the window when I had the malfunction.
Well, when it gets down to, like, that temperature like you found it at, A, that's scary as hell because you're like, what have I been doing the past few hours? But B, like, you don't know if the meat has gone bad.
Well, and that's what I was worried about. And I literally spent all morning on the internet trying to figure that out. And I basically found out that unless that internal temperature gets up to like in the 60s, 70s, you're fine. But I've got one of those pen thermometers. I hit it. I was still like in the 40s. So I was okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. I said I was okay. Nobody in the house has died. Nobody's been violently ill.
I made it. Okay.
So here's my question. How do you get the flavoring when it's that big of a freaking butt? And how do you get the flavor all the way in there? I mean, you got to inject it?
I mean, I've done it both ways. I've injected it. So,
what, just like butter or something?
No, it's basically it's like apple juice, soy sauce. No, not soy sauce.
Worcester.
I can't remember what I put in it.
Worcestershire sauce.
And some salt. And I have like one of those metal injectors. It looks like, you guys ever see Cannonball Run when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You know when the doctor, Jack Elam, he's got the big syringe? Uh-huh. That's what I got, one of those.
Okay,
I will do that now.
And then push it down.
Will do that. Now, I'll be honest, I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it because I didn't notice where it was any better. So literally, you just rub the meat has enough fat in it, and it renders, as long as you cook it long enough and you cook it slow enough, it gets tender. The majority of your seasoning is always going to be on the outside of it,
and when you shred it all up, that's when it mixes up.
Yeah, but with like Wes said, but when you do the pulled pork and you pull it, the outside mixes with the inside, and that drops your little bit of flavor in there. So what you're hoping for? So and then I found a cheat code on the shredding of the pork butt too.
I've got those Wolverine claw things that.
So I've got some of those. I've got some of those too, and they're great. But if you're doing a big enough butt, it starts beating up your knuckles and stuff. Feel like you've been in a hockey fight. So here's what you do.
Do you mean with your knuckles?
So it's like these things are like brass knuckles that have like Wolverine claws, and you literally put them in there and shred it.
Gotcha.
So what we did was I read this in and he took the butt, cut it into like three pretty big sized pieces, and then I dumped them in my wife's KitchenAid. With the dough hook, the thing that you use like when you're making bread,
here.
It shredded the hell out of it, and it was fantastic.
Really? Easy?
Yeah, easy. Didn't have to do. I mean, every once in a while, you just watch it with a spatula and kind of, you know, mess everything around. But the cool thing about that is you didn't have these giant pieces.
What did you use? Was it the pizza hook?
Yeah. The dough hook. Like if you're making bread or making pizza dough.
That's wild,
and
man.
And it almost like gets kind of fuzzy because it's so shredded. And it's great for sandwiches because, you know, part of the problem when you make pulled pork, you put it on there and like half of it falls off your sandwich. This, you put it on there and it would like stay on it. It had been so stripped down.
It's like compact.
It was great. I'm sure there's some guy out there in South Georgia that barbecues for a living and wants to come up here and murder me right now because I've broken so many rules. But I don't care.
I don't care great. Either.
Bro, and by the month, in a month, I'm gonna need an email with like number one. Seasoning. Number two, inject. Number three, heat your grill up to 190. I'm gonna need all that in about a month.
You need to do, I'll tell you what, you bring a case of beer, you come out here, we'll do a class for a weekend.
I've seen some of the comparison videos. There are a bunch of people that will do like the porcelain smokers with the lump charcoal versus the pellets. Mm-hmm. And if you do it the right way, I mean, you can't really tell that much of a difference. Just depends, though. I feel like the lump is easier to mess up, though. I definitely think
the lump is easier to mess up. I think the return is bigger off the lump. I think you get more smoke, and therefore you get a better bark with the lump.
Oh, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. I like that bark.
But the outer. But for those of us that aren't pros, right. And those of us, this is a once every, you know, month hobby. The pellet is a revelation.
You're not in a competition or anything like that.
Right. You got people right now listening like, that ain't how you're supposed to do it.
Well, you know,
you need to do it this.
Everybody, you know what I think about that, though?
Yeah. I'm going to get all sorts of emails.
It's so much trial and error, though. And any of those, like, rules online, like, I don't know. Anyone that's too strict about it, they just aren't having enough fun.
Or is it a difference between doing a brisket as opposed to a pork?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you got
a brisket's
totally
a lot more
different.
Maintenance like ahead of time. Like, you've got to cut it up the right way.
Yeah. You got to make sure you trim the fat the right way. Some people separate.
What's this, a brisket?
Yeah, some people separate the point.
They'll do
the
burn
flat.
Ends.
Some people do that for the burn ends.
Bro, you're talking Spanish. What is a point? What is a flat?
Brisket's actually two pieces of meat, and they're stuck together with a layer of fat in there. And there's a thing on top, which is kind of looks like a little bit like a bump, and that is the point.
And there's a thick deposit of fat between the two. Hard fat.
Right. And some people separate the point from the flat when they cook them because it makes it easier to cook. Now, your purists will tell you shouldn't do that. But if you're somebody like me who doesn't do it every week, it's probably a smarter way to cook it. There's a lot. I got a buddy of mine from Texas, from Austin, as a matter of fact, and he sent me a brisket recipe that he swears by. And DJ, you know, you were asking about injection stuff earlier. On this recipe, he injects the brisket with beef bouillon.
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can either.
The whole point of the brisket is to
keep
it moist. Yeah,
that's so hard. I mean, you can really mess up a brisket. I've only done a couple of them, honestly. I'm no pro at that. I always want to try, but it's much more expensive. And
So brisket is harder?
I think
brisket
so.
Brisket is harder to cook, yeah. And it's probably longer to cook.
Longer than 12 hours?
And it's more expensive. It's a more expensive piece of meat.
You're really sweating that one out because you're like, man, if I mess this up, potentially put, you know, depending on how much you bought, $50 to $70 down the drain.
$50 in the trash.
Oh no, I can't do that.
Yeah,
somebody got to make that, because if I waste $50-$60,
hey, you living where you do, just drive down to Fox Brothers.
Yeah,
somebody in trouble.
Living where you do, just drive down to Fox Brothers, man. That is, as somebody who comes from Oklahoma, that is a Texas barbecue with a southern flair to it. Best of both worlds, in my mind.
I got some good barbecue from Smokey Bones.
And if they would like to sponsor the podcast, you're more welcome to.
Smokey Bones.
Yeah, I'd love
too,
to
man.
Find a good local like Athens smoke. Barbecue joint to sponsor us.
Pulaski Heights.
Butt Hut.
Yep.
I'm going to stay quiet.
Yeah. Might have to. Me and my dad love doggone good barbecue on the edge of downtown on Hancock.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's like right next to like Cine and the National,
that
right?
That guy brings the heat.
Yeah. That place looks legit.
Look at this. I forgot where I got this from. I just will be having this cup. I don't have my usual red cup tonight. I got this one. Big Meat Monday. I like barbecue. I remember when
I first moved here, a couple of guys I worked with were like, they took me to Fresh Air Barbecue.
Yeah.
And that, which was up north, I can't remember exactly where it was.
Fresh,
it's not that far.
It's Fresh Air. Fresh Air is like at the end of Atlanta Highway.
I ain't feeling that name.
No, it's legit. But here's the thing is, and this is another cultural difference. I had never seen stew in my life. You grew up where I grew up. There's no such thing as stew.
What you thought it was when you first saw it?
I don't know what the hell. I thought it was like
all this stuff.
It was like salsa.
All this stuff in
there
together.
It was good. It's not my favorite. I still don't like. I don't order it. But I literally had no idea what stew was.
Just stew, man. I don't know.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. Okay. I'm going off the barbecue tip here because we had this conversation earlier. Your Eagles are coming down to the ATL, and they got to see the Falcons week one.
Yep.
Early prediction. Your boy Jalen Hurts will be the guy.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely be the guy.
Get to see the Heisman Trophy winner here in Atlanta. What do you think happens? Week one.
Now, if Chip Kelly were still coaching, the first play
would be a bomb.
Is some sort of rollout play action to Devontae over the top.
How do you do anything different?
So,
why not?
Yeah, exactly. So,
both of y'all with y'all green on today.
It'll probably be a run up the middle for a half a yard.
There you go.
RPO? Little RPO?
I'm not.
Hey, Wes, you know what they're going to do on that first play?
I can't. You're going to dial something
like,
up.
I knew he liked that.
You're going to dial up some eye candy. Man.
What are they dialing up? What's on the other end?
Yeah, it's the phone with somebody who knows what they're doing.
You know what I want to ask you guys? I want to ask you guys this because you guys have, I think, a unique perspective. You guys know sports. You guys know players. The talk of what's been talked everywhere of all week long of a certain individual going back to play.
I brought it up last week, and y'all laughed at me.
Been out of the game for 8 years. I mean, he's going back to play a position that he's never played with pros. What are you guys' take on that?
My take, I would love to hear the as take. Someone who's really not a scout or a position expert, is really not that bold of a take. And he should have done this, what would it have been?
2012?
Yeah. was it 2012? Yeah. Was it the 2012 draft?
It's 15.
I don't even remember.
Because that was the last year. That was the last year he played, was the Eagles. He was with the Eagles.
Well, I just mean in the draft. Out of Florida. And I know that pride of as a quarterback, like, shock. I mean,
no doubt. I got
you wouldn't want to switch up either. But
no, I'm with you.
Hindsight tells me that this is something he should have done a long time ago, and maybe he'd still be playing potentially. But now he comes back, and it's Urban looking out for his boy.
I text Coach Rick, say, "Hey, yo, you want to go back to the league? And coach, maybe I can get a job.
Bring me back.
I can get a job.
Bring me back, coach."
He left. Bring me back, Mike. What's your take, bro?
Let me ask you a question. You've been working on TV for a bunch of years. You got some money saved from when you were a player, I assume. You're on TV every week. Everyone tells you how much they love you. I was at the ESPN CFP party at the playoff one year, and I have never seen people flock to a celebrity the way they flock to this dude.
No doubt.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to open yourself up for that?
Yeah.
You proved you could play in the league. Sure, people are going to take shots at you, but at the end of the day, you did a lot. You did something that a lot of other people didn't do. Why do you open yourself up for that?
Can't let it go.
And if you're Urban, why do you bring that mess into your first pro job?
Urban's already had a questionable personnel decision.
Oh, I know.
So,
and from what I read something this morning. Basically said there's people on that staff that are not very happy about the Tebow.
Well, the staff. How about
the
teammates? How about his? You know, the guys
that's
in the locker room, man.
Wes. Yeah, that's my argument. Is I guarantee you, there's going to be dudes in that locker room, and I was telling somebody this earlier. I said, as a guy who's been in the locker room, and then you see guys who are still to this day who actually played that position are working their tails off for the last 2-3 years trying to get a job. And you're gonna have dudes in that locker room that are like, I know a dude who's been working his ass off to try to get back into the league, and he can't get an opportunity. And a lot of guys in that locker room are going to feel like this was given to him. Every dude that's in that locker room now has earned the right to be there.
Yep.
This guy now has the opportunity now because it was given to him because he's got a good relationship with him and he knows him.
He's his neighbor.
He's been out the league 8 years. Oh, yeah, he lives like three doors down. I mean, like, come on, man. The man been out the league 8 years. I see dudes who've been out 2-3 years.
Why does he
want
to go back?
Yeah.
Why? What does he have to prove?
I blame... I
don't know.
With anything today, I blame social media. He has the opportunity to continue to be an influencer of some sort, get more eyes on him. He has an opportunity now, just thinking the way he's thinking. It's a marketable opportunity, and I blame that social media lure of like continuing to stay front and center. I mean, he did it with the Mets in their spring training program. It's just the next thing. And I mean,
I think it's because he can.
He can.
That's what it is. He can. Because somebody's going to give him an opportunity to go play baseball. Didn't work out. Now you got a guy who's going to give him a chance to play tight end, a position he's never played, because he can. Like you mentioned, he's got everything he wants and needs. But
can I ask you, as a devil's advocate, okay? I mean, I've clearly... like showed my hand on how I feel about this. I think it's absurd and ridiculous. But is there any benefit to Trevor Lawrence as a rookie having a little bit less attention shown his way? And on the flip side of that, is there more harm that can be done because Tebow's in the locker room and potentially fracturing, or not fracturing, but making his teammates think less about their jobs?
I say the only thing that is a hindrance will be the fact people will be asking Trevor Lawrence about Tim Tebow. Why does he need to be asked about the guy who is probably the fourth or fifth guy at the tight end position when he should be focusing on him? For Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he will let it get to him because this dude has been front and center since he was freaking 14 years old. Like, he's always been that guy. So where he went to high school, went to college, now first overall pick, this has been his life. So I don't think any added pressure would have been on him anyway. But now you have to answer the questions of, how's this guy doing? How do you think he's going to do? Instead of, how's your progression going? Who do you like throwing to? How are you learning this offense? What are you thinking your first year in Jacksonville? But now you got to ask, I think, irrelevant questions about another player that I think
it's already such makes a no circus sense. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. I understand that, hey, can't be mad at him. Hey, guys giving him a chance. And I'm sure a lot of guys will say, yeah, I'll take it too. And you got ticket sales. You got all that kind of stuff. They're trying to rally up. But at the end of the day, I don't think this guy is going to help you win ball games. And that's what you want to do. As like you mentioned, Mike, new head coach, first year, you need to win ball games, bro. Will this guy come in and help you win ball games? I don't think so.
To me, it's more of a, and this it's funny. Everybody, I think, is focusing on Tebow's ego. This is about Urban's ego, man.
Yeah, he got one. No doubt.
Don't get confused for a second. Oh, don't worry, I got this. I'll handle it. I'll make sure it doesn't spin out of control. And maybe he does, but this is 100% about, hey, everybody, look what I'm going to do.
But Mike, the fact you mentioned, there is already division within the own staff. Come on. Yep. You can't go into your first offseason camp with people side-eyeing people because they obviously don't feel like they earned that.
This is not the
team.
Steelers Come we're on. Talking about. This is not the Patriots. This is not a well-run organization. The Jacksonville freaking Jaguars, for God's sake. They picked Trevor Lawrence because they've been garbage.
Yeah.
So let's not just assume that Urban can make all that change.
I guarantee you, dudes on defense.
Oh,
they gonna have a little heightened when they see him line up in a 3-point.
He doesn't have
stand.
A non-contact jersey
you.
On anymore.
Oh, you ain't wearing that red jersey, Rook.
Come on, man. I guarantee you, them dudes are gonna be like, nah, you ain't gonna be the one to get your rocks off on me.
You think he makes the roster? 50.
Talking about like for ESPN? Yeah, he'll make the ESPN roster. Yeah, no doubt. He on that. He gonna do what he want to do. He'll be on that. Yeah, cool.
I love it.
I love how who was it? DJ that lobbed that grenade into the chat room here?
It was him.
that was some solid podcasting.
Wasn't
producing
us.
There, DJ.
But it's like, because I've been in that position, like as an athlete, and how hard you work to get to that point. And I know you guys watch it just like I do, watch sports. You're a fan of your teams, and you know what guys should be on your ball club that can help your team. I just wanted to see, I want to hear you guys' opinion.
I mean, it's the only market, it's the only franchise he could have gone back to. I mean, they love him down there, obviously, and Urban's got his ego, like you said, Mike. I mean, not only if it works, can Urban say, look at this move that I orchestrated. You know, it's like in a way definitely making it about him.
I am a coaching genius.
Absolutely.
Mike, are you cool with McNabb coming back and, going to training camp?
Put him at H-back.
Hey. Nah. Yeah,
coming back at H-back.
He want to be on the practice squad? you know what? I think McNabb actually could be a good tutor for a young quarterback, but not as a player, as a coach, as an offensive assistant.
What if he's coming back and he's playing like what's he playing H-back? I mean,
no,
that's what Tim's doing. Tim's coming back and he's playing a totally whole new position.
No,
so totally new position. Yeah, never done it. But guess what? I'm gonna do it at the highest level. Let's go.
Yep. Yep. I think he's going to find out it goes about like baseball did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He may, you know, he'll, and here's what's going to happen. He'll go out there in that first preseason game against somebody's fifth string, and he'll get like he'll score on a little hook or a little flat route, and everybody will lose their mind, and then he will be nowhere to be found. Come the
well,
end
here's
of the,
cuts. The here's like where the devil's in the details, right? Like, I don't think he's breaking off his contract for his TV work. I mean, he still has a pretty large safety.
He will be back in. He will be back in time for SEC Nation.
Still has a safety net there. So
no doubt.
It's like no doubt. Come on, man.
I ain't never seen that before either. But hey, I'm gonna leave that alone too.
Who do the Jags open up with? Everyone's tweeting about. Oh, they. They've got their London game. I'm looking at their Twitter account now.
I've ignored Twitter today. Once I saw
the Jags, open up with the Texans.
I saw a tweet this morning about somebody putting gas from the Consumer Product Safety Commission that basically was one sentence tweet that said, "Do not put gas in plastic bags." And I was like, "Well, I'm done with Twitter for the day."
Bro, you gotta tell.
Some days you just see that tweet.
You gotta tell a grown man they can't put gas in a plastic bag. Come on, man, where we at?
As a nation,
is this not America? I thought this was America.
People walking around with bags of gas.
I solved the vaccine problem.
Tell us more.
Oh yeah.
Here's all you gotta do. For a month. Jack the Powerball and the Mega Millions up to $500 million. You can't get a ticket unless you can prove you're vaccinated.
Wow.
Ooh.
For a month. Promise you. You're welcome, America.
Everybody be vaccinated trying to win that.
Now we're going to get the emails from the anti-vaxxers.
Or you just get a ticket. You just get a ticket when you show up.
I'm just making friends.
You just get a ticket when you show up.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's what we get each year for Christmas in our stocking. My mom gives us a scratch-off, and it's like magic. I don't care. Like...
We buried my grandmother with some scratch off.
For real?
Yeah, she loved playing the scratch. She loved playing the scratch off. So we buried my grandmother with some scratch offs.
Grandma buried with $200,000
exactly.
Right now.
That's what we were all sitting around. on my cousin's porch after the funeral. Like, you know, one of those is a winner.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. No, no. One of them was like 50.
Y'all are gonna be at a family reunion, and somebody's gonna be just like. Needing a little bit of extra spending money, and y'all are just gonna side eye one another like, y'all better not.
Let's go see.
You're the one that wanted to put the lottery tickets in there. I said nothing of the sort. And my family's Irish, so it ended with a fist fight.
How many relatives have you fought? I think we've talked about fighting brothers on the show before, but
I've never fought. I've only fought my brother.
Like for real, like I hate you fight.
No, like
knock your
like
teeth out.
Like he was pissed off at me, I was pissed off at him, and I threw him through a wall.
That sounds tame somehow.
I do remember that
Irish family in Philly.
He chased me with a knife once.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's wrong with y'all, bro? What's
I don't know.
What you do to him for that man want to chase you with a knife?
No telling. This was like I was like 16. He was like 14.
That is dumb.
This man had a knife. Oh my goodness!
I probably stole his CD of Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation, or something.
The unpeakable version.
I would take that though over the stupid fights that my brother and I got in. I mean, it was always about like video games or something dumb. You know, fights were just. I would much rather have an interesting reason to have a fight.
So my oldest son moved out last week, and his car is in the shop. And so he's driving my youngest son's car, because as we've relayed on this podcast before, my youngest son's license is suspended.
I feel safer personally that
Mario
he's not
Andretti.
On the road.
Well, we should all feel safer. So my youngest son is a little bit of a stereo guy, and he's got his nice sound system and big speakers.
You got some 10s back now? You got some 12s?
No,
what do you got?
He got a 12, but it is a loud 12.
He got that thing on a big amp and everything.
Yep. Oh yeah. He's putting in a new alternator just to power all that stuff. So.
Oh yeah, it'll drain you.
Yep.
Yeah,
so drain you better. He wanted to show his stereo off to his friends. He texts his brother and says, "Hey, bring the car by the house tonight." And Jackson's like, "No, I'm at my house. I'm chilling. I'm not bringing the house to the car." And I get these screenshots now of these long text conversations. "Come get your boy."
That's how he's talking.
"Come get your boy."
He pissed on me. He's so mad. He was pissed.
I'm like, you both are clowns. Leave me alone. I'm trying to play computer golf here.
Dude, that is great.
Yeah, come get your boy. That's the.
How much golf you playing virtually over there, Mike?
A lot, man. I'm playing a lot. Just cleaned up a win at the Wells Fargo this past weekend.
Oh,
beat Rory.
So you beat Rory.
I beat Rory.
Actually,
I think I beat Kizzy. Mm. I'm not gonna rub it in. Friend of the program. But yeah, I think
Kids,
I beat Kizzy.
Kids, you took a L, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it going though, man. I got that white line right on that other white line for like a good solid 3.5 rounds.
I don't know what that means, but strong. In video game terms, I assume it's good.
It means my swing was completely aligned. Ooh. I was one with the ball, Danny.
Well, I play golf with AJ Minter and Luke Jackson.
Yeah,
the man Luke Jackson swings like. Like he ain't got no muscles or nothing
what?
In his back. Like
does he go way?
Oh, he go after it like this. The last ball he gonna hit in his.
That's
life
how I. That's how I
time.
Swing.
I'm
I mean,
like, oh.
I right she now. Knock on wood. I've got the flexibility to go back there, and it just helps me with the power, I guess. And I can't do like a middle ground. Like that's why I do it that way. I can't go like halfway back. I'm like John Daly.
No, you can't do the Tony Finau, huh? You
like,
can't do Finau.
I'm like John Daly, dude. Like my club is way behind me.
Way past parallel.
Say,
by the way, I saw somebody doing a podcast with John Daly yesterday. I think it was Amanda Balionis. John Daly got this beard, but
it's
it
white.
Is
he do.
White.
It
is
like
it is white.
I saw a picture of him and Charles Barkley. I guess they played in a pro-am together.
Yeah. I think it was over
that's
in Atlanta.
I
think it was the one over in Atlanta.
Kirby played in one last week.
Yeah. It was the same one in Atlanta, and then Saban was in it, and Greg Sankey was in it.
Hopefully they weren't at the tips.
Well, Kirby
feels about the tips.
That was a hey, I ain't talking any noise about anybody's golf game. I know what my
Kirby was playing with Sankey in their group. What do you think? What do you think Kirby was talking to Sankey about?
Oof.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what would a coach like. Is it the transfer rules? I mean, I don't even know. This NIL stuff, like
name, image, likeness. Hey, Greg.
Any advice?
Tell me. How can I keep my kids eligible? Come on.
And then Greg suddenly had to go run another 5K. Dude, if y'all don't follow,
I run a 5K every day, especially when
I don't look at his Twitter account anymore because it just makes me feel bad.
That's all he does?
Yeah, dude. He runs.
He does a lot of running
all the damn time.
He's like a year and a half. Yeah. He hadn't missed a day.
Silly.
What you mean?
Like,
hold on. You mean
he does,
every day?
Yeah.
He says
he's run every
it's
day.
It's kind of like
a
David
a
Pollock level of commitment. He's
obsession.
He's like at least 30 minutes of running every day for the last like something. I didn't even finish reading. I scrolled past. I was
it's very similar to me. Only mine's with computer golf.
Look, we all have our passions.
Get it in every
30
day.
Minutes of computer golf every day.
Got to get you 9 in or 18, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, I can't do 9. I got to do 18. If I'm going to start, I'm going to be there for the whole thing.
Oh, for sure. That's
until I start shanking it and then I give it up. By the way, I need to issue a correction. We regret the error. The text from my son was not "come get your boy." It was "get your damn son."
No,
dude.
Get your damn
sun. And I want to, there, I don't know if you can see it because it's, yeah, it's reversed. But there it is. Get your damn sun.
And he said,
sun.
Thank you.
He was very mad.
Thank you. I said, I told him to stop texting you. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's nothing like it.
Love brotherly love, man. You gotta love that, man.
It's funny, though. They miss each other. They act like they don't miss each other, but they miss each other.
No doubt.
Like when we went out to dinner, we went out to lunch or lunch dinner for Mother's Day, they rode together. And you could tell they were screwing around all the time. They were in the car and everything. They had to ride together because God knows Connor couldn't drive.
Off the road.
He'd have been there.
Someday my kids are going to discover this podcast and just listen to me drag them 24/7, and it's not going to go well for me.
They're going to be like, oh, yeah? You've just been telling all our secrets.
I'm going to get home. My wife's like, were you talking noise about the boys on the podcast? No.
That's what we do.
Absolutely not.
Hey.
So it's graduation week.
Yeah,
now.
I saw Jarvis Jones going back with some of the current players wearing their caps and gowns, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Maria Walker.
Yeah.
Walker, I saw that.
Maria Taylor is speaking. She was in the office today. I was helping her out with a ESPN interview, with which I'm not allowed to discuss. But it's kind of cool.
It's a birthday today, too,
it's
right?
It's her birthday. It's her birthday. Yeah. Coach Taylor came over, brought her some cupcakes. Maria did not share the cupcakes. I suppose had I asked, she would have, but I did not ask. But we, you know, it just made me think. I was trying to think of, do you guys remember, how well do you guys remember your college graduation or the graduation festivities that surround that last weekend of school when everybody's getting out?
I remember graduating. I remember because there were a lot of people.
I've seen a photo of myself at my graduation.
You've seen a photo of yourself?
No, I I remember it.
Were you glossy?
I was.
Like, and look above you, is that right there?
Had a lot of
feeling real nice.
Beer weight on my face that I no longer have. But Arthur Blank spoke, and he inspired me to do great things. I don't think I'd be co-hosting this podcast if he hadn't. Yeah.
Makes sense now.
Who spoke at yours?
Coming full circle.
Deej?
No idea.
Mine was Senator David Boren.
Senator.
Who eventually, maybe a year after he spoke at my graduation at Oklahoma State, was then named president of the University of Oklahoma.
Ooh.
So for it's somewhat tainted.
Is that Jason Bourne's brother?
No, Boren, B-O-R-E-N.
Oh, they said Bourne, my bad.
No, I think, who's the other guy? Who's the guy that's Jason Bourne's brother? What's that one movie they did, the Jason Bourne movie that didn't have Jason Bourne in it?
They did?
Jason Bourne is Matt Damon.
There was the one with, what's his name? It's the same guy that does the bow and arrow dude from the Avengers. Jeremy Renner.
So it was like a spinoff?
Jeremy Renner. It was like, from what I understand, is they were trying to prolong the franchise just in case Matt Damon decided he was out. They were going to spin it away. This was another guy that had gone through all the brainwashing. I don't know what the hell got us started on that, but yeah, so it was David Boren, and it was terrible because it was a typical May Oklahoma day, overcast, about 6,000% humidity, and about
a tornado off in the distance.
And we were all wearing cap and gown. And it was on turf.
Oh,
and it was like the
gosh.
Old school turf. Like the
it's like concrete
old, like the,
underneath it.
Rug burn turf. Oh
no, y'all felt nasty out there.
Oh dude. And of course we had
sloppy.
We had probably had overindulged the night before.
So everybody's sweating it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't great. Not great, Bob.
Oh, that's
shocking. Did you ever play on that? I guess you would have played on that older turf in the Georgia Dome and at the Sugar Bowl, right? Before they switched it to the grass turf. Dude, that...
Because I had on cleats.
It wasn't.
It wasn't the turf. Yeah. So, you know what? Go back to my sophomore year, our first year in 2002,
Vanderbilt
was
had
the turf.
It. Vanderbilt had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vanderbilt had it. I want to say, who else had it?
Tennessee had it on the sideline.
Yeah, Tennessee had it on the sideline.
I broke my foot. I remember that.
Arkansas used to have it, I think.
We didn't play Arkansas back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, no, better not back then. Yeah, that stuff was miserable, man. You would get these that your skin would get rubbed raw, and yeah, it would just. And yeah. This is and not to get too graphic here, but it would.
Yeah, you'd have
ooze,
to get some.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd go to bed and you'd wake up and your sheets would be stuck to your arms.
Yeah, that's one of them. You get in the shower. You're I can't even do nothing with this.
What do I do with this?
And then they
I
started. Then there was like that step in between that turf and the grass turf, which was the stuff that had the sand in it. It was a little less rough, but you got sand everywhere. Like in your eyes and your mouth and your ears and your nose. But it was better than the other stuff. And then the new stuff, you can't even really. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you just got to make sure they don't put too many of the like pellets in it. Because then your feet just kind of sink.
Well, they got it now where the pellets don't even come up now.
Yeah, I mean,
it got that
really,
same stuff, but
they
it don't come up.
They do when it's like brand new. But like I remember I worked someplace, I can't remember what it was, but they had like this machine that would it would drive over it like a Zamboni, but instead of obviously like heating it up, it would vibrate. And as it vibrated, the pellets would kind of sink into the turf, and they don't really come up as much. I remember when that stuff first came out, like you'd get off the field
all in your
and
shoes.
You'd have those pellets
like
in your socks and in your shoes and everything, and it doesn't do that.
That's
now.
Crazy. Yeah, they've innovated.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to an Atlanta United match
at
Mercedes-Benz, they water it. They spray water all over it.
Yeah.
So the ball will still like scoot across it.
It's faster.
It's weird.
It's faster.
Mm. Anyways.
Yeah.
I love it. Turf and barbecue and Tim Tebow. That's the name of this show.
It's a day. Let's call it a day.
Hey, I'm not gonna talk any noise here, but that went pretty quick.
I agree.
It did. You guys got to talk about that barbecue.
Proves,
and I forgot what
my
we
point
doing.
That we all love to hear ourselves
no
talk.
No doubt.
I don't. No.
Yeah.
I can't watch myself.
Wrap it up there, Wesley. Let's get the heck out of Dodge.
All right.
Wesley!
Another shocking
hey,
ship
Wesley.
Successfully recorded. We're still here. And we'll see you next time.
Mike.